My guest today is probably someone that you know. It's Taryn Brumfitt. Yes, that's right. She's Australian of the Year. She's an award-winning documentary maker. She made that awesome film, Embrace, featuring yours truly. And she's got a lot to say about body image and how we can change our relationship with our own. I just really love her mindset, her energy, her passion. So here's our little chat. It's really good to speak with you. Really, really good. Because we've met. We met in Adelaide that time when you followed me in a taxi. Do you remember that? You jumped into my taxi.
It was Melbourne. And I
was Melbourne, shit.
That was pretty funny. I orchestrated that like the ultimate stalker because I really wanted to interview you for Embrace. Mm. And so for those of you who are listening, we were speaking at General Electric all those many years ago. And I just asked the organisers, when will Taria be getting in a car? And just plant me near the car and I'm literally jumping into the car. Like, it was one of the most awkward things I've ever done. But you were in the film and everyone loved
it. I was. Look, it paid off because you literally had the gumption to just jump into the car with me. And because I didn't know you at the time, I was like, this lady's got a lot of damn nerve jumping into my transfer. But on reflection, I was like, power to you. You know, that's probably why you've been able to achieve everything that you've achieved. You're Australian of the Year now. What's that been like? Have you enjoyed it?
I have. We've created a lot of impact. It has been very intense. It's taken a lot of stamina, but as you would know, Taria, great things never happen without a team of excellent people who are really committed to, you know, meaningful change. And I'm just so grateful that we have that team. And I was grateful that we had been building a team of people before Australian of the Year had happened. And then you never think it's going to happen. Everyone asks me, did you know? And I was like, no, I didn't know until my name was read out. And it was really funny because I was just really happy that he got my pronunciation right because everyone calls me Taryn and I'm forever going, oh, Taryn. And then he said it, the Prime Minister read my name right. I was like, yay. And then I was like, oh, yay. You know, like the whole, it actually happened. So there you go.
Oh, that's so good. You've talked about, you know, you've got a team who are passionate about making a change. What's that change that you guys are wanting to make?
Our focus this year is to reach 1 million young people with the message of Embrace because we want them to be happier and healthier in their bodies. So there's this misconception around people's thoughts about what it means to have a good body image. So we're up against it, but this platform has been really helpful for me to spread the message. But what we now know, because the science tells us that people who have a higher appreciation of their body image are more likely to move their bodies, they're more likely to eat fruit and vegetables, they are more likely to put on sunscreen, women are more likely to have cervical screenings, and our kids are less likely to smoke, drink, take illicit drugs and vape. So this whole shaming people to feel bad about their bodies to be healthier doesn't work. We need people to feel good about their bodies so they respect, move, nourish and mostly enjoy them. You know, our bodies are meant to be enjoyed.
Could you give me an example of that? Is that like when you order a dessert and someone says, oh, you've already eaten a lot of food already, haven't you? Is that an example of shaming someone?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of appearance-based shame, a lot of commentary about how people look, what people are eating. There's a lot of fear-driven, you know, we grew up with life being it and Norm on the couch and his larger body, Special K, pinch an inch. There was a whole advertising you know, situation that we all experienced. And when we learned from researchers that eating disorders had doubled in 5 to 12-year-olds since 2019, everyone was so quick to blame the pandemic and social media. And we were kind of like tapping everyone on the shoulder going, no, it's actually 2 decades of really unhelpful health messaging. So I just think we need to arrive at a place where And I don't know about you, Taria, but I often think about, I think there's a dysfunctional relationship that people have with exercise. They feel like it's something that's being done to them or something that they have to do. And moving my body is the best part of my day. And it's because I don't have rules about how I move it. Some days I'll lift weights, some days I'll hike, some days I'll swim, some days I'll dance. And I think that we've just kind of got into this rhythm of punishing our bodies that we've forgotten how enjoyable it is to move them.
Yeah, it's almost like this process of punishing ourselves. You know, you're flogging yourself at the gym for the purpose of losing weight. I don't know if you remember, Gwyneth Paltrow did a podcast interview with someone. I can't remember the name of the interview, but she talked about what she ate in a day. It was very ridiculous. It didn't seem like enough food. And I thought it wasn't responsible because she was putting out there this really unrealistic diet or way of eating that she was participating in. Talked before about the messages that you grew up with. What was life as young Taryn like?
Yeah, I mean, I had parents that were really, healthy. I remember they ran. Mum played netball. We ate, really healthy food, and it was a great upbringing. We travelled lots. And I was able to learn to have a really good relationship with my body. It was only for me that everything changed when I started looking at the external pressures to look a particular way. And yeah. I'm really surprised, actually, because I'm quite a strong person that I actually bought into it. But I guess that's what happens when you start to feel a bit crap about how you look. And for me, it was after I had my kids. But for those of you who are listening who don't have kids, you know that your body will change at some stage in your life. So that was just my example. But when I was told that I'd be happier if I looked different and I bought into it and I tried that on for size, that's when it all kind of went a bit pear-shaped for me.
Yeah. Were you ever explicitly told by someone that it would be different if you looked different, or were they just some messages that you had received from media, advertising, society?
Yeah, all of the latter. No one ever said to me, you should look a particular way.
Yeah, okay.
And it was my own mental, it was my own narrative as well that really placed the importance on, getting my body back after I had kids and losing the weight and trying to get my stomach back to what it looked ish like before.
But it's, I know you said that's the narrative that you came up with, but I also think that if there was no emphasis on what our bodies looked like, we wouldn't really give a shit. But it's because every time we open a magazine, we look on TV, we look on social media, we see a lot of perfect images. They may or may not be airbrushed. The person may or may not be wearing a lot of makeup, all of those things. So it is hard when you're comparing yourself, whether you're doing it subconsciously, but you're comparing yourself to this perfect image. Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. Comparisonitis is what we call it when we talk to kids, when we compare ourselves. And our brains are wired to do that. And we actually can't stop that as a process. But I guess what we can do is that we can start to focus more on the functionality of our body as opposed to the appearance. So we know that if you fill up your feed with people's bodies and people's appearance, that we're going to start feeling lousy because we compare. But for me, social media is like the best 10 minutes, 20 minutes of my day, because I'm looking at people like yourself and Libby Trickett and whoever else is in my feed, and they're doing amazing things. And I think Celeste Barber does such a great job in the film of distilling it down in such a simple way. It's not about saying you don't care, you don't have to care about how you look. You can, but just focus on more about how you feel. And it's just a balance. It's not a radical concept. It's just kind of be a bit balanced in your approach.
Yeah, I've heard this idea thrown out there about, radical, unconditional self-love. And it's never sat right with me, because I think that part of being human is that we might not love ourselves all the time, and that's okay. Do you have any commentary on that?
Yeah, totally. Because I'm a bit of an all or nothing, hard and fast kind of person. When I When I learned to embrace my body, I went from hating it to like hardcore loving it. And then I wanted everyone else to love their body.
Yeah.
And it was a few years ago now where someone said to me, that is so far out of my reach. And that's, of course, when the body neutrality came in. And thank goodness someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, you can like your body. You can be okay with your body. You can just feel neutral about your body. So I agree wholeheartedly with you. You certainly don't need to love your body all the time or love yourself, because I guess that's where the growth, that's where growth is. You know, that's where it lives. So yes, no, we don't need to love it. But I do on occasion and quite often.
I mean, that's really good. And I also really loved what you said about body neutrality, because I think, you know, if I'm looking at the women in my running program who might not have run for a really long time, may never have run before, and I'm teaching them how to run, I don't know if at the start of that process that they would say, hand on heart, yep, I love my body right now and I love everything about it. But I guess the process of learning something new, challenging yourself, focusing on the function of your body as opposed to the appearance, maybe that's where, you know, body love or body positivity can grow from.
Yeah. I mean, Taria, I just would add to that, we don't even talk about body positivity anymore. It's body acceptance. So
yeah, you know, I love that.
We don't belong to that movement. We belong to body acceptance, whatever that looks like for you as an individual, because it looks very different on everybody.
And how would you start that process? Because I know that you're very gung-ho, all-in kind of person, but if you're someone who is on the periphery and you know you have, you know, some struggles with your own body image, and you want to start appreciating your body a little bit more, where would you start?
Yeah, I think I would start with getting curious about it, asking yourself the question, you know, what does it cost me to hate my body? How have I been held back in life? How have I been sidelined? I mean, we don't need to scratch the surface too much for people to uncover how shit hating our bodies and not being very kind to ourselves, like what that's done to us. What we're trying to do in terms of all the storytelling and the books and the films and all the things is just, I guess, maybe give people a little bit of hope or inspiration that there is an alternative, and also being really mindful and respectful in that process that embracing your body looks really different to lots of different people. But what does it mean to you?
And for yourself, Taryn, you know, you've mentioned moving your body, nourishing your body with good food. I guess, what other ways do you show yourself that you appreciate or you accept your body?
Yeah, I just don't think very much about it. It just doesn't dominate my thoughts. But what does is how I feel in my body. Like I value greatly having the energy and the stamina to have four kids, be Australian of the Year, run a team of, you know, 17 people. I have a lot of things. I have a lot of reasons to be grateful about my body. And to get the most out of it, I really do need to look after it. So I have a bunch of rituals that I invest in, and it's really important to me to feel a particular way.
What sort of rituals? Because now I want to get in on it.
You want to? I bet you're doing all of them anyway.
I want to get in on it. You've got to tell me.
So what do I mean, moving my body for me, you know, I love hiking. I love taking the dog out. I just love losing myself in time, in nature, away from the phone. Sleep. I love my sleep. I prioritize sleep over everything. I love my infrared sauna. I love nourishing my bodies with the foods that I know give me lots of fuel. But then I love my margarita and cheese, my Daffy Noir on a Sunday. Like, I just think it's about the balance of it all as well. What other rituals? Getting out in the sun, getting out in nature. That's so important for me. I can go for a run some days and just be in such a wicked, you know, mood. And I go for a run and I'm come back and I'm like an entirely different person to my kids and my family. It's pretty cool. It's really cool that we all have access to that. It doesn't have to be big. It could be really simple.
I love that. And, you know, I think when people say rituals, sometimes you might assume that there's like a 6-step process to making an organic oat milk by scratch and then dusting it off with a mushroom powder. But I guess just what you said, it's really the basics, right? Like moving your body doesn't really matter what sort of movement is. It could be Tai Chi. It could be going for a run, getting enough sleep, nourishing your body. Don't eat too much shit. Just eat real good food, getting enough sun, going out in nature, putting down the phone. And also, I'm curious as well, because I know for me, my sense of self, I get that to a large extent from the people that I'm surrounded by. You know, Michael, the people I work with, my friends, my family. Have the people in your life, have they helped you with your body image? Because you've said that you felt really shit about yourself, then you went all in and you embraced yourself. But in between being dissatisfied with yourself and loving yourself sick, I presume that there's moments in time or steps along the way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the people around us in all areas of our life can hold us up and be the scaffolding for whatever it is that we want to be doing. I truly believe that. Although I would say when it came to my own body image, I could be told till I was like, till they were blue in the face, that I looked a particular way, but it was how I felt about my body that actually mattered. I think the process really belongs to us. The people around us can support us in our journey, but it really, which is actually kind of cool though, that no one else controls those thoughts and feelings and decisions. It is on us. And I guess that's the hope and opportunity that we have with Embrace, is that, and people learning to embrace their body. I often joke that it should come, you know, with 100% money back guarantee, embracing your body, because I've never met anyone who's learned to embrace their body and regretted the decision to do so. Like, it just feels incredible. And I think the more people know that this is an option to them, the more people will sign up to choose to do it and engage in it.
Yeah, I guess I agree with that, but I'm thinking about like women who exist in a bigger body, people who exist with a disability, women of colour. You know, for example, if you walk into a shop and you can't buy a piece of clothing in your size, you can embrace your body all you want, but that's not going to change the fact that you need to shop at a certain outlet to be able to buy clothes that you can fit into. If you're someone who lives with a disability and you go to the shops and it's not accessible for you, again, you can be embracing your body all you want, but it's not really going to change this, how society functions around you.
Yeah, and that's why we have to keep having the conversations, continue to elevate their voices and their stories, so we have more understanding and that we make better choices about how to be more inclusive.
Yeah.
I think you're so right. We can make those decisions for ourselves, but we need to be supported. Everybody needs to be supported as a whole.
Yeah, I love that. You've mentioned now that, well, and you tell me, because I might be paraphrasing, that you had pretty, I guess, robust sense of self or good body image, and then you had kids. That changed how you felt about your body, because you had like 3 kids in a really short time frame, didn't you?
Yeah, 3 and 3.5 years.
Oh, you're crazy.
That's what I mean. All
you're crazy. Because right? I know for a lot of women, like having babies, going through childbirth, you've got saggy tits, your body's changed. You might not see it as being as sexy or as youthful or as attractive as you once thought. Is there a way we can shift that focus, as in like, my body's just grown a baby, isn't it amazing? And did you ever try to do that sort of work?
Not at the time, because I thought the solution for me to feel better about my body was to get the body back.
But okay.
It's the reframe though for people. In the process of learning to embrace my body, after I trained, got the the body that I thought would make me happy. I started to think about all the conversations I would have in my head about how much, you know, you say about saggy boobs. I always describe mine as, you know, being able to push, like people, like you could pick them up like they're dirty tissues. Like that's the kind of, you know, after feeding 4,000 meals to my kids. But the reframe on that is, oh my goodness, I was able to feed, you know, 4,000 meals to my kids. Or my legs that have got cellulite and stretch marks, they've run 2 marathons. They might even be secretly training for a third. I haven't told my body yet. That's happening. But there's a reframe that we can all do. When we give our body parts a hard time, find – this is going to sound Pollyanna, but it truly find the love. There's love there waiting. Find the reason to be grateful.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I say to my, you know, my runners as well. You know, if you're in a body that you've got 2 legs that can walk, hopefully shuffle, maybe one day run, you've got a pair of lungs that are going to pump oxygen around your body, you've got a heart that's going to be able to pump blood around your body, like all of those things, it's pretty magical when you think about it. I think those things you've got to be grateful for as well. Couple more questions. Are you worried about the next generation of teenage girls?
Teenage girls and boys. I'm worried about
Sorry. You're right.
We know that 77% of them are in body image distress. We know that of that cohort, that they are 24 times more likely to be depressed and have anxiety. So, I have, you know, 4 kids of my own. I have a stepson now, so I've gone from 3 kids to 4. And we need to prevent these issues. We need to get in really early. So that's what our focus is. And reminding everybody that we weren't born into the world hating our bodies. It's something that the world has taught us. Rather than trying to fix issues when they're adults, let's just get in as early as we can and help them build the foundation.
That makes so much sense. And I think a lot of my listeners would, you know, they'd probably be women around our age. Do you have any advice for us on how to make sure we don't give our fucked up body image issues to our kids?
Yeah, for sure. Well, we need to role model behavior. So I hate to give you something else that you have to do. And the easiest thing that every single person can do for themselves and for everyone around them is make a commitment beyond this chat today to never say anything negative about your body or anyone else's body again. I am pretty certain that if we all did that as individuals, it's the fastest way to big change.
Totally. So don't criticize your own body or your own body's capabilities. Don't criticize or make commentary on other people's bodies. And I guess try and be a positive role model for your kids in terms of what you're eating, how you're moving your body, that type of stuff.
Yeah, like don't go for the run because you ate the chocolate cake. Like go for the run because you want to feel good mentally and physically. Like we've got to watch what we say. We don't want that functional relationship with moving our bodies. The other thing I would strongly suggest, and we made it for parents to watch with their kids, is the Embrace Kids film. We cover off bullying, social media, gender, stereotyping, disability. It's all in that film, and it was created with a team of academics side by side with a creative team. And it's really quite funny because my 16-year-old watched it, and he was one of the first people that watched it. And I was like, tell me, what do you think of the film? And he said to me, oh, it's better than I thought it was going to be.
That's a rave review. Okay. That is a rave review. And the cast for that movie is pretty good as well, right? You've got Celeste Barber, you've got Jamila Jamil in it as well.
Chloe Hayden, 18, really dynamic, awesome kids, Erin Phillips. There's a range of people in it, and kids are watching it. You know, it's 79 minutes. I should know this. It's like binge Foxtel. You can get it easy. It's easily accessible. Yeah. But kids are watching it and they are taking so much away from it. We're really watching change happen within that 79 minutes. That's, you know, it's what we live and breathe is this work. You know, I've been doing it for 10 years and I love the opportunity of getting it right for our young people.
And after Australian of the Year, because you've been doing this work way before you were Australian of the Year and you've continued to do it during this year, And I reckon you'll keep on going.
Yeah. You know, I won't stop, right? Because for me, the only way I can describe it is it felt like winning the golden ticket. Like, it felt so good to learn to embrace my body. And I just want as many people on the planet to experience that same sense of joy and adventure. We get one body. It's the body that we've got. We've got a really, I'm just trying to think of another word than embrace. It gets me every time. I'm like, I can't say embrace. It's just like.
Just say it. It's an apt word. It's an apt word.
And it's never too late, you know, and it feels so bloody good. That's why I want people to do it.
Yeah, I love that. Hey, thanks so much for your time today. It's been an absolute joy and thrill for me to speak with you and to be on the other side interviewing you this time as well.
That's the hardest thing about this year. I'm like, I much prefer to be director behind the camera, and then all year it's been people interviewing
me.
Tariq, I'm going to make you laugh too. You know when I got into your car?
Yes, when you stalked me.
I flew to Melbourne that morning to get into the car, and I came straight back home again.
But that's why I love it, because I think if you want to do something crazy, you have to be willing to take those crazy steps. You know what I mean? Like, you can't change the world from the comfort of your armchair. And so I just say power to you, because you're changing it. You're making everyone have these conversations. You're making everyone really reflect about what their relationship is like with their body image, how they talk to their own kids, how we could improve it, all of those things. And it takes a lot of courage, and gumption, I want to say as well. So yeah, you're a legend, and it's been an honor to speak with you today.
Thanks, mate.
Hey, I really hope you liked that chat with Taryn Brumfitt. If you liked some of the stuff that we talked about, maybe you'll like joining me in my running program. Go to www.tariapitt.com/run to find out more. I'll see you next time.